Welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss in Marion today, checking in as part of, well, you might say our Hometown Indiana series of reports from the listening area. And today in Marion, we're at Paula's 9th Street Cafe. And who should we meet but Ed Breen, former longtime editor of the Marion Chronicle Tribune, a transplant originally from Iowa, and you came here 50 years ago this year.
Yeah, half a century. I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about the Indiana State Bicentennial coming up. And he says, you know, you've been here for a quarter of it. And that was kind of upsetting.
Places like Marion, Muncie, Anderson, well, Fort Wayne. There have been so many changes in the past 25 years, 30 years.
And we didn't see it coming in any of those places. We were all kind of cruising along. Everything was fine in central Indiana. If you were born and reared here, you graduated from high school, you went out to General Motors or RCA or International Harvester or BorgWarner or wherever it happened to be, you got a job, you put in your 35 years and retired. That's all gone. Everything has changed. And all of the towns in this part of the country, I think, are going through the same very painful transition. And we're a long ways from the end of it.
And some version of that happening across the country has to be part of the reason behind the anger that we hear about the political process and the feelings that some people have that they've been left behind and they're angry.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And, you know, the phrase that the business writers like to use is that there is a disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. And I think that's true. You know, if you walk around this room right now and there's 25, 30 people in here having breakfast or lunch, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who says, yeah, the economy is swell and things have never been better for me. Not true. The economy has bounced back from the perspective of the Wall Street people, but not on Main Street.
How would we see that walking around Marion today compared with 1966 when you got here?
Dramatically different. It's almost impossible now to go a block through residential neighborhoods in this town and not find at least one abandoned house, and abandoned as opposed to unoccupied, one where somebody just simply walked away from it. And then, of course, after it sits there abandoned for a while, somebody puts out a window or two, and once the windows are broken, that begins the deterioration of the whole block. And that's becoming the pattern in this community.
You are one of the hosts of the local morning show here. Tell just a little bit about what you do at WBAT.
Well, I went to WBAT after I retired from print journalism because I was terrified of going out and sitting on the front porch and dying. You know, thought I needed to be doing something. And started doing co-host of Good Morning Grand County. We're on from 6 to 9 a.m. each day, Monday through Friday. It is local, intensely local. It is all talk. Just use music as bump music and that kind of thing to get us in and out of segments. And the idea is to reflect the community that we live in and be of service to that community.
Yours is a representative of the kind where you hear a morning report from the police department about things that happen. They're very relaxed, and there's some banter back and forth. I think you do lunch menus, you have the mayor on.
50 years in journalism, and I end up reading school lunch menus at 6:30 in the morning.
What kind of feedback do you get? I mean, this is something that people tune in.
It's really interesting, yeah. I get a feedback in this a way that I had never experienced it before because I was with the newspaper here and in Fort Wayne for 45 years. And you'd do things in the newspaper that people would react to occasionally, but you were anonymous. You could go around town with anonymity. In radio, you lose that. If I walk in here into Paula's and there's somebody in here that doesn't know me, if they listen to the radio, they recognize the voice. And people respond to radio in a much more personal and intense way than they ever did to print, at least in my experience. I mean, I may have irritated them in print. now when I irritate them on the radio, they come up and, you know, poke their fist in my chest.
I mean, you do these commentaries. You ask a pretty blunt, candid question.
Well, there's a little sign that I put on the wall beside my desk at the radio station that says, if you are agitated and confused, my work here is done.
Usually the flavor of these morning radio shows don't offend anybody. They're very, I don't want to say pablum, but I mean they...
Yeah, and I want to get the conversation going. And the best way to get the conversation going is to get somebody a little bit irritated. And then they tell you what they really think. You get them off script. And that's particularly true with political people and people in positions of some authority in the community. And if you ask the predictable pablum question, you get pablum in response. And I just don't think that serves anybody. And quite frankly, I sort of enjoy poking the bear anyway.
This morning we were sitting here and talking with Ed Brain, and we're at Paula's 9th Street Cafe, local landmark in Merriam. And a gentleman got up from a adjoining table and walked by, smiled at you and said...
Said the old gorilla is leaving now. And that was a reference to early this morning. We have three people who are running for county commissioner. Two of them are old silverback gorillas in the political world. The third one is a young neophyte who is getting his baptism in blood. So on the air this morning, when we were interviewing him as a candidate.
The young guy,
yeah. I said, well, you know, you're caught between two old gorillas. How are you going to campaign? Well, one of the two old gorillas was in here.
So that's Ed Breen, former editor of the Marion Chronicle Tribune, now a morning radio host and commentator, at Paula's 9th Street Cafe in Marion, one of those local gathering places that every town has. And we wanted to visit on our hometown Indiana tour. Coming up, changes in the media and how that's affecting Indiana's smaller towns.
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking with Ed Breen, former editor of the Marion Chronicle Tribune, now on the air mornings on WBAT, AM station. So many things have changed in society, not the least of which is the media. And you spent a career, a lifetime at newspapers in Marion, at Fort Wayne especially. Whenever you talk to somebody about their local newspaper, I mean, this has always been true. People are always a little bit irritated with their local paper.
People have always wanted to be sarcastic and dismissive of their local newspaper. When I was at the Chronicle Tribune for years and years and years, you would run into people who would refer to it as the Comical Tribune. And when I was at the Journal Gazette in Fort Wayne for 15 years, I would run into people who would call the newspaper there the Urinal Gazette. I mean, you know, people always want to make fun of the local newspaper. But they need it, and they want it in a way that they can't articulate or don't want to articulate very well sometimes, but the need is still there. And I think part of the problem now is that it's very difficult as an economic model for newspapers to do the kinds of things that people want and need in the community.
Covering City Hall, covering the school board.
Yeah, you need a reporter who stops in the mayor's office every day and wanders into the city controller's office and the police chief's office and so on. And when you have a reduction in resources, as many small town local newspapers have, to the point where they can no longer afford to have a reporter who just simply covers City Hall, that means nobody pokes their head in those offices.
Tell me a little bit about this place where we are. When you want to find out what's going on, you go to the place where people go and have coffee. And there may be more than one of those, but it seems like every town has some place that's very distinctive.
Absolutely. It's essential to the life of the community. Now, if we were to ask Paula exactly how she feels about it, she's running a restaurant, okay? But she's also running a sort of community forum here. that is terribly important to the life of the community. If you're parachuted into Marion and you want to find out something about the town, you come out here and you just sit down and you start talking to folks. It's a pretty good gut check on reality in the community that you're living in. And every town has one, has a different name in every town. Ours just happens to be Paulus.
One of the things we've seen around Indiana, the emptying out of some smaller communities.
We have lost dramatic numbers in population. Our school enrollment has gone from a high water mark back in the early 1970s, 1971, of 10,000 students down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000, 4,500 now. So the school population is greatly diminished. We have closed a large number of schools in the community. We have got a lot of factories that are no longer here, starting with RCA, going from there to Foster Forbes, to General Tire, Dana. I mean, the list is long, and every town in the Midwest has experienced the same kind of thing. Fortunately, we still have General Motors. Marion's stamping plant, it's a metal stamping plant, is west of Marion on Indiana 18. General Motors made a sizable investment in this community. It's been here for 65 years now. They put something like $30 million into the place a few years ago.
How do communities like Marion, how do they keep young people? I mean, how do they keep from just going into a spiral of decline?
Well, we don't know the answer to that yet, because we are in that spiral of decline. We don't know where bottom is. Am I being the pessimist here? Yeah, I probably am, but I think it's a reality. The young folks graduate. We have kind of a standing joke that on graduation day at Marion High School, the bus comes, picks them all up, and they all go down to Hamilton County and get a job and buy a house in Fishers or Noblesville or Carmel or Zionsville. There's a huge population from this part of the country that has migrated down there.
So the answer in the view of some people is to work on what's called the quality of place. In Muncie, for example, many other communities, bike lanes and amenities to make the community more attractive to people in hopes of building the population.
Yeah, and you know, the buzzword of 20 years ago was quality of life. And somewhere along the line, somebody took a look at the meaning of that phrase and said, well, let's talk about the quality of place. Because place has a great deal to do with the quality of your life. And I think you find people in government, in not-for-profit organizations, in community betterment sorts of positions, who are saying, yeah, the quality of place is terribly important to us in driving the quality of the life that is to be lived in that place.
Does Marion have an initiative like this? Are you adding bike lanes and parks? And
we aren't that far along in the process yet. We're still trying to come to grips with the decline that we've been going through over the last 15, 20 years. So it's going to take a completion of that cycle. And then at some point there will be an optimism that will kick in and say, let's make this a better place. We haven't quite hit that yet.
Tell me a story about your time as you were a reporter, a photographer. Today when we're talking to students who are looking at this field of journalism, we tell them that this is a sort of a front row seat on society to see how things really work. You get quite an education. Was there an education for you, a guy from Iowa, as you became familiar with the workings of government and the other places that you covered?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the reason that we all got into this business. I mean, you can talk to journalism professors who will say, well, people get into journalism because they want to defend the Constitution. Well, that's nonsense. We get into journalism because we like to see our name on the front page in a byline. And we like to be able to cross police lines. And we like to be able to go places that other people can't go and talk to everybody that we want to talk to.
Ed Breen, radio host in Marion, where we're visiting as part of our hometown series on local communities. If there's a place you think we should check out, give us a holler. Coming up, we talk with Marion's favorite Paula.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Of course, since we're at Paula's 9th Street Cafe, there must be somebody named Paula, and she's sitting with us now. Hi, Paula.
Hi, my name is Paula Harner. I own 9th Street Cafe. I've owned it now for 13 years. I love to cook, and that's where this got started. I drove by one day, and there was a for sale sign in the window. I called and put an offer in, and it began on May 15th, 2003.
You just drove by and saw this place. What were you doing? What was your job at the time?
I owned a convenience store at I-69 and had owned it for 15 years and was getting out of it. And certainly no way was I ready to retire. And this was a dream. I'd always wanted a cafe or a restaurant. And this was the answer to those dreams.
There are many people who would like to open a restaurant. It's harder than it sounds.
Oh, my. It just aggravates me when people say, I'll open a cute little restaurant and just start making money. It is so much work. If you don't love work, then you're in the wrong business, because I get up at 3:30 in the morning. We're only open till 2, and every morning I wake up, I love what I do.
Come on. Every morning?
At 3:45, I start to love it. At 3:15, I'm not loving anything.
In the time that you've been here for 13 years, anything changed in Marion or in the people that you see?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the businesses here in Marion have left. But as anybody knows, it is cheaper to eat out nowadays than it is to buy groceries for two elderly people and then throw half of it away come Friday. You can't get a salad at the grocery store without throwing the lettuce away later in the week. And here you come here and get a fresh salad every time you come in. So what we've seen change is just the businesses leaving and people still come out and eat.
There's something about being in a place like Marion. You know, I mean, remember the old cheer show? Everybody knows your name.
Yes, this location was known as Bucktown. As a little girl growing up in a town a few miles away, Gas City, we as kids were told to stay out of Bucktown. It was supposedly a rough area. And so naturally, I used to ask all of the guys that came in here, tell me some stories about the Bucktown and why people were scared to come out here. It was just rough. It was a malleable factory that was here. So I love being here in Bucktown and making it one of the places everybody loves to come.
How many hours a week do you work?
Gosh, a lot. I try to take one day off, and we are closed on Sunday, and I will never, and never's a strange word, but I will never change that. But I try to take one day off. Sunday's still my favorite day because nobody's going to call and say somebody called off, or nobody's going to call and say something broke. So Sunday's still my favorite day.
When you think back to your customers over the years, think of some of the distinctive people. I mean, you come to really know them, don't you?
Yes. I tell everybody, that's the hardest part here. We fall in love with these people. We just lost two just recently. We called him Billy, and he always came and got two pieces of pie, one to take to his Alzheimer's wife in a nursing home, and the other one, Lyndall Burker, that were just regular customers. And they weren't just customers. We touched their shoulder. We said good morning. We knew what they wanted to eat, and we miss them terribly right now. But that's what I've missed the most about this place is the ones we've lost.
Is there something that keeps you going? Because it's all on you, right? You're the chief cook and bottle washer.
Well, there's...
You were on the grill this morning when we came.
Yes, that's my favorite place. I'd rather be on the grill than out here on the floor. I like to make sure the food comes out the way it's supposed to. Presentation is huge, and length of time that you wait for a breakfast is huge. So I come from a family of seven children, and there five of us are in the food industry, so our mother taught us something. And she worked here when I first started. I've lost her 3 years ago, but she sat at the bar and told stories of the war. She was from England, and so she taught me what I do and who I am.
Lessons from your mom. Did you ever see your mom interact with people in a way you thought that you kind of took as a lesson?
Well, I have a great story. He's passed away, but he came in here. He was a single man, never married, no family, lived alone just down the road here. We called him Postal Doc because he used to work for the post office. He was very quiet. He always reeked in the winter of kerosene because he heated his house that way. He sat at the bar, ate his food. He spoke to us, but never stories. My mother made a point to show me how she could loosen him up. She went out front one day to him, sat down beside him, started talking to him. That afternoon when he got up to leave, she reached up and hugged him, and you could see he stiffened up. The next time he came in, he waited for her to come greet him and hugged him, and he hugged back. He had never been like that. He had always been such a staunch, tight, strange gentleman. But I think he fell in love with my mother. He would ask, when will Grandma be here? So I remember watching her do that. So she just had that ability. She was, everybody here teased, she was the huggingest person. If you were sitting at that bar and you didn't want to hug, you better wait till she was talking to somebody to scurry out the back door, because you're going to get a hug. I miss her.
Thanks, Paula.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love doing this.
You can get anything you want out of a restaurant. You can get anything you want at a restaurant. Step right.
That's Paula Harner, who opened Paula's 9th Street Cafe in Marion 13 years ago. Always great to talk to somebody doing something they absolutely love. And that's her. And that also describes Ed Breen, local radio host and former editor of the Marion newspaper. Glad we could visit with them recently. By the way, this is our 200th Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio. So glad you can join us. Hope you'll check out our Facebook page, give that a like, and also the video version of Indiana Weekend on WIPB television. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft, and special music consultation thanks this week to Stephen Turpin. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.